Welcome to the After 30 podcast. I'm your co-host, Anis Alibhai, and today's episode is about modern day etiquette. At this point in our lives, we understand basic manners, and we know generally what to do and what not to do in certain situations. However, there are still plenty of cultural nuances and expectations in our dynamic and multicultural modern environment. And there are many traditional etiquettes that hardly anyone abides by anymore in our highly digital and highly casual world. I'm sure nobody knows how many days after they receive a gift they should send a thank you note anymore. So, does it matter? Should we care? We're chatting with etiquette expert Karen Cleveland today, and she'll walk us through how etiquette has changed, what etiquette is appropriate today, and what we can do to pay attention to our ever-demanding environment and varied cultural contexts. Let's talk. Hey, Karen, we're so happy to have you. This is a very exciting topic for the both of us. You know, especially you're very celebrated in this field. So it's like really cool to be talking to an etiquette expert who has written so much about it. And, you know, I feel like, you know, in today's sort of world, we actually forget, I personally have even forget what etiquette really is. Like, I know how to be a good person, but then what's the difference between being a good person and being having good etiquette, you know? So I'm so excited to pull that apart with you.
Me too. Okay, well, why don't we start right there? Like, let's start at the top in the pretty much the biggest question, I would say. I mean, we're going to do some cool stuff where we get into etiquette in different scenarios. Like, we want to talk to you about etiquette today and, you know, dinner parties, like whatever, restaurants, dating, weddings. Like, we'll get into some of that. But I think before we even do that, let's talk like really big picture. How has modern day etiquette changed from the past? We, like Anis had just said in the intro, we know generally speaking, things are far more casual, which we will talk about. I am not personally a fan, but also, you know, let's talk more about what do we think of that casualness? Like, do we, does it matter? Kind of like Anis said, you know, like I always think about that scene in Pretty Woman, like definitely one of my favorite movies where Julia Roberts is getting taught the proper fork and table setting. I love that shit. I absolutely eat that shit up. I want to go to a super fancy dinner like that and know exactly which fork to use. Nobody gives a shit about that anymore. So what do you think? Tell us.
I think it matters. First of all, thank you so much for having me and saying nice things about me. You made me blush within the first 30 seconds. And also set the bar high. Now I can't swear too much because you said that I have some, you know, credence in the field. So I'll try to
mind my piece. You can if you want.
But you're so right. It's a different game now. And I'd say if we were chatting even a year and a half ago, I would have had that same sentiment. But now after the pandemic, I don't know about you, but I feel like my social skills have totally atrophied. I forget how to conduct myself in public. Like, that learning curve is going to be steep. But I still think all those things matter. And they mattered to me in my early 20s when I started writing this first etiquette column. And they matter to me now that I'm a parent and I'm responsible for how younger the next generation, these two people that I made, conduct themselves in the world. So I would say, what's problematic is that so much of etiquette is couched in snobbery. Like if you don't know the social code, you're going to be judged by the people who do. And it's really directly tied to classism.
That's right.
So I wrote this etiquette column for more than 10 years. And when I found out when I was answering reader questions, the questions often fell into two camps. So the first was like, how can I use etiquette to level up? Maybe in my professional field, like I'm going to have lunch with my boss or I'm taking clients to lunch. How do I conduct myself in a way that I want to present myself in the best way possible? Yeah. And the other camp that those questions fell into, which is a little less ingratiating, was basically like, can I use etiquette to legitimize or validate how I feel? Basically to tell someone else that they're wrong. Which is wrong. Like when people are, you know, like people are fishing for validation, like my mother-in-law didn't do this. That's really shitty etiquette, right? And that's not what etiquette is about, right? It's not about being right. But by codifying things in life, it takes the guesswork out, which I think is really great. So at its core, I think etiquette literacy is about feeling confident and making other people feel confident. That's really what it
is. I love that.
Yeah. There's this great, I think it's myth, but, so don't, you know, don't treat it as history, but there's this great little story that Queen Victoria was hosting a dinner and everyone sits down. And of course, they're presented with finger bowls to dip their hands in to wash their hands before their meal. Yeah. And the story goes that someone who is from another country takes it and drinks it. You're nodding, you know, right. This anecdote. It's really lovely. Mm-hmm. So the queen, being a diplomat, drinks it too. And yeah. Everyone around the table is like, oh, shit, we got to do what the queen does. Which is like the most wonderful example of not being hoity and not being snotty, but just making the people around you feel comfortable. You don't want anyone to feel that's stupid. Right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like where I struggle with, you know, the idea of etiquette. Like, it's in the end, I'm a big fan of it. You know, like Tab said, like I love to sit at a table. Then I love to know what forks and knives I'm using for sure. But if you pick up the wrong fork, who cares?
Probably no one, right?
And I understand what you're saying, where like what it's based in is more about social respect, right? And yeah. Social acknowledgement. So like I'm thinking about when you send thank you cards just that concept in general, sending a thank you card for something.
Yes.
That I think is like, you know, if you actually dive into what is appropriate etiquette at some stage in some Emily Post book, I'm sure there's like a, you do that in 2 days after you receive a gift or whatever, right? Yeah.
There's literally rules. Cute.
There's literally rules. But yeah. I think like what that's based in is so beautiful and lovely. And ultimately you're taking that moment to handwrite something where you're really acknowledging that person and you're showing all of that gratitude and you're taking that time and sending it. Like that is based in making, like to your point, making that person feel seen and respected and acknowledged, you know? So and I think that I really love what you're saying, that that's ultimately what etiquette should be about. And
And the thing about etiquette is that it doesn't matter until it does. Right. Like people say, like, I don't need to write a handcrafted thank you card. Who cares? I'll just text them until suddenly someone comes into your life where you really want to dazzle them or you really want that job or you really want to hit it off with your new in-laws, whatever. So then it becomes important. Yeah. Or I don't need to know about dining etiquette until they're responsible for representing their firm and taking a client to lunch. Then it matters.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Mm.
So I'm all about like preempting those situations. And when I started this column in my 20s, it was well before the Huffington Post picked it up or the Toronto Star. I started it with She Does the City, a great website that's still around.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. She's so great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely gave me my first column. I was in my early 20s and I was writing it as a way to sort of publicly display my own snafus and be like, well, if I'm having these conundrums as a young professional or dating, surely other people are. So I might as well like put myself out for public humiliation and share my lessons.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it was a ball to write. Yeah.
So what do you think, like, I know this is a big question, but what do you think are some of the general trends that have changed that you don't feel like people are really doing?
So I think there's some basic things around like giving good small talk.
Okay.
Right. That's sort of like,
I love that.
Yeah. The lost art of banter. Right.
Right.
So I used to... And when I would hire people younger in my career, if they were going to the first event together, I used to work in publishing. So we held a lot of parties. I worked in a magazine and I would tell people, comb the headlines that day, know what happened in the news, like find a couple of films or books you want to talk about or perennial subjects, like ask people what they're doing for the holidays or what they're watching.
Oh my gosh.
Things like that, like the lost art of small talk.
Yes.
There's also something really eloquent about being able to properly introduce two people.
Yes.
You're always introducing up.
Yep.
So if you're introducing a client to your boss, you're going to introduce your boss to your client because they sort of fall higher. And that's a bit gross to rank people. But you're always introducing up. I think those are really beautiful things.
Right.
And then
I love the understanding, A, what's happening in the world that you can have that small talk, but also really understanding who you're introducing so you can connect them.
Yes. Yeah. Those common denominators, right? Like, hey, John, meet Jill. You guys were both in Hawaii last year, I think. Those little touches that make people feel really good. And then prior to the pandemic, I used to love to host. And my husband and I would host really fun, huge dinner parties that were anything but fussy. Like they weren't snotty. There was no white linen. But we just really were like all in. And we would go for it and like take so much care to invite the right people and serve interesting food and like put a tan on the drinks. Like we had a ball doing that just for fun.
Because
I think that's also a lost art, hosting.
Yeah.
And I suspect that after the pandemic, there's going to be a real resurgence of that. Like what's better than a really good six-hour yes. dinner party, right?
Yes,
for yeah, sure. For sure. Absolutely. This is all such interesting stuff. You know, I was thinking about the banter and the small talk mm. piece that you were talking about. And I hear often, because I'm training to be a psychotherapist, I hear a lot often from my peers, I hate small talk. I hate small talk. Mm. I want to just get to the real stuff, get to the juicy stuff. And I always say, actually, I disagree. I love small talk. I think it's so yeah. important. And the reason I always say that is because I think small talk creates avenues for you to really get to know somebody.
Yes.
Contrary to the normal paradigm of like, oh, it's small talk, that means you're saying nothing. And I'm not saying talk about the weather.
Yeah.
If you talk about the news, you can gain insight into someone's views, someone, how they think about things, whatever it is, right? And so for me, small talk is like an avenue to create and build relationships, right?
I love that.
Isn't it so gorgeous? And so like, if I meet you for the first time, small talk is what's going to get me to meet with you again and again yes. and again. And over time, that actually builds bonds, like really valuable bonds, which then stretch out, like, I mean, I'm talking like really meta now, but like really stretch out into community building. For me, I think totally. That's what small talk is about, right? So yeah. from a perspective of etiquette, it's not only important to connect each other, like from a professional standpoint, but in terms of like even relational work, it's groundbreaking to just engage in a little bit of small talk. Just try. Yeah. Try.
Totally. Because we're so accustomed to hiding behind our devices, right?
Yes.
Or, you know, communicating through emojis or like pointing and grunts. Like, I feel like we've devolved.
so much. Yeah, for sure.
And for sure. Right? Like, small talk is when you discover that first impression that's formed within seconds, right? So,
right.
is this person funny? Is like, do I like being around them? Do they make me feel comfortable? So I appreciate that people think that small talk is sort of tiring or boring and that you want to get sure. to the juicy stuff, but it's sure. like social foreplay, right? Like that's how you find out.
Totally.
Are we clicking? Is this going somewhere? So I think it's mm-hmm. a lost art and I love it.
Love it. Talk to us a little bit about how you were saying, like you said you feel like we've kind of devolved.
Yeah.
Do you think that the digital world has just made us so casual? And do you think that there's actually a thing like digital etiquette? Like, is that yeah. something that we should be thinking about?
Yeah. Yeah. When I wrote my column for the Toronto Star, it was called Manners 2.0 and it was around sort of new wave etiquette. So things around like social media and awkward situations, like what if your boss adds you on Facebook, but you're super personal on Facebook and you don't want to overshare.
Great like, question. That's
yes. right? There's so yeah. much in there. Like, do you add your own boss to LinkedIn or do you wait for them to sort of like
right.
add you to their virtual world? Do you follow them?
Yes. Instagram? Even simple things. I have clients all the time ask me on their professional Instagram, for example, and they'll have like somebody like a potential client that's following them. And then they feel yes. this total turmoil of like, do I follow them back?
Yep. So, yeah, totally. Yeah. yeah.
So what do you do?
Right. Or what do you do? Someone yeah. like takes pictures of your kids and you don't want your children's faces to be shown online, like all sorts yeah. of really sort of interesting quagmires that we've never had to explore before. Like this is all relatively mm-hmm. new yeah. stuff. So I'd say like, you know, that same adage of you want to present yourself in the best way possible, but also keep a little bit of yourself for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. everything that's been on the internet is there for in sure. perpetuity. No one's going to take a magic eraser to it. So when I speak to especially young professionals, you know, have a great time on social media, use it to the full extent of its fun, but also know that every recruiter that's ever going to approach you for a job, every boss yep. is for sure stalking you online. For yep. sure.
Yes.
So what yes. are they going to find? What photos yep. are they going to find? What have you commented, right? Because that stuff is on the internet in permanent ink. It's not going anywhere. So that's like a yeah. whole thing. But I do think that we've gotten sort of lazy being behind our screens. And I'd say like the best sort of evidence of that is the whole troll culture. The comments that people write on social media are so cowardly. Like I would never imagine anyone would have the moxie to sit across a table and articulate that to someone.
Right? No. Exactly.
Very true. Very yeah. true.
So holding people in a way that I find is just so problematic.
Yeah, it's awful. So I'm going to segue for a hot minute there into a parenting piece of that, because how are you, and I know your kids are a little bit too young to be thinking about this, but I'm sure it's on your mind. Like, how are you thinking about how you want to raise them in this world in that knowing about that? And like, it kind of dovetails into bullying a little bit and how you're going, just how you're thinking about that. How are you wanting to raise them with the digital etiquette, if you know what I mean.
Oh my gosh, you just watched my face fall. I want to just move to an island with no Wi-Fi and they can move back to the mainland when they're 19 or something. I'm really, really freaked out about it. There's no amount of money in the world that could pay me to go back to being a 14-year-old girl. Like it's impossible, right? Being an adolescent.
Yeah,
it's
brutal. I agree. Yeah.
So imagine that juxtaposed with like social media pressures and every filter possible and imperfect standards of beauty and trolling, the oversexed internet culture. All of it just makes me crazy and makes me want to go live off the grid with my children. But instead, what I'll probably do is encourage them to look at the internet the same way they do a really great action movie. It's fiction and it's entertaining and it's not real life. And
I love it.
Right. And I hope that, you know, when my kids are old enough that we have those conversations, either social media is just like people are over it. Maybe it'll go away. Something tells me that won't happen. But I'll hopefully arm them with enough information to be really critical of what they see and to keep, you know, to keep the bulk of their selves for in real life. And if they have social media accounts, I'm sure they will. Cool.
For sure.
But to just really like keep it contained, you know, I have a hard time managing it.
And I think there's a lot to be said in terms of the etiquette piece of it. Behave online the way you would in real life.
Yes.
And I really think that's such a simple etiquette that people just, to your point about trolling, that's where people just completely diverge. And
I find that so fascinating, isn't it? That we can't behave the same way just because we're behind something and we're far from someone. We can distance ourselves. So I think what I'm picking up from you, Tabs, and you, Karen, is that like, just come close to the person before you speak.
Be exactly who you would be in person. That to me is the most simplest form of etiquette for digital.
Yeah.
For dealing with the digital world.
Through and through. You know? It's so funny because the last time we spoke was around weddings, right? And weddings this weird thing. Everyone wants a master's degree in etiquette when they're getting married. Everyone's fucking crazy for etiquette when there's a wedding.
Yeah. Nobody gives a shit about etiquette until they get married. Yeah.
The other 364 days of the year, no one cares at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so interesting because like it's seen as like pulling out your fine china, right? Etiquette's this really sacred, special thing we only care about on very special occasions.
Right. Right.
Totally not true. Like it's a way to live your life. Yeah, it's a value system.
Absolutely. It's the way you live your life. It's how you hold yourself. It's how you serve people when they come to your house. It's how you speak to them. It's how you make people feel. It's in the embodiment of you.
Yeah.
So could we actually break down some of those examples and give our listeners some really great sort of takeaways and tips? Like, because Anise, you're having me think about it. Like, okay, let's talk about dinner parties. That's such a good example. I am a huge hoster as well. I cannot wait. I'm thinking maybe August. I feel like August is when it's going to happen. So it's like, what are some great things that in modern day today etiquette are some great things we could be thinking about for dinner parties and restaurants?
For dinner parties. So if you're hosting, you want to, you know, try to be the social lubricant for your party. So make sure you're responsible for being the cruise director. You're responsible for making sure that the vibe check is good all night. So that's everything from making sure there's a good cadence to the night. Like you don't want to leave people starving.
Yeah.
And you also don't want to leave them, you know, like rushing out the door, right? So you're responsible for the ambience, for feeding people and making sure they have a good time. And then if you want to do nice things like put fresh flowers out, that's cool. But
Who
cares? And then I think for people that are going to a dinner party, it's always a great touch to offer to bring something. Your host is probably going to say, don't bother. But I really like to not show up empty handed if I can. So if you want to bring flowers, that's really nice. Bring them in a vase because the last thing your host needs to do is like run back and getting food on the table and then is suddenly arranging a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah. So smart. So smart.
So like, you know, wine is always a perennial good favorite.
You know what I think is one of the cutest like house gifts you can bring like that, because then it's already done and it's small and they can go everywhere, is a small little succulent. It's like they're cheap. They're cheaper than flowers. Yeah. They last. It's like the cutest little
I love that.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Candles, right? Like just things that you think would be like a nice touch around your house. And I'm a big fan of the 5-minute grace period. I never arrive at a dinner party on time.
Yes,
there's a great French expression that's slipping me, but like there's a 5-minute grace period that allows your host to
I love that so much.
Right? Like take a deep breath, put on some lipstick if they want, like get into the group. So I never show up on time. I always give like a couple minutes grace period before I arrive. And then don't be a jerk and show up 20 minutes late. That's like really super, super rude.
Or longer. Then, definitely not okay.
Totally. And then every great party has got to come to an end, right? So if I'm hosting, and the party's going late. This is a great tip from like an etiquette book from years and years ago that Carrie Marsh wrote, The Fabulous Girl's Guide to Decorum.
Oh, cute.
And Carrie had this great piece of advice that I read in my early 20s. And Carrie's just like, she's the best. If she ever listens to this, I love you, Carrie. but that you enlist a wing woman to get other people to leave.
Oh,
so
good
let's
one.
Say it's like 11:30.
I've never done that.
Such a good tip. So let's say it's like 11:30. You want to go to bed.
Yeah.
And you've got like one or two people who are just like reaching for the martini shaker again, or
totally.
They like are turning up the music and you want to be turning it down. Enlist a wing person to be like, hey, why don't we go to a bar down the street?
Yeah.
Or why don't we go back to my place? So you as the host aren't kicking people out of your home. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was the best piece of advice ever.
So good.
I absolutely love that.
I love that.
Send a text to your girl and be like, get out of my house, please.
Well, we have those friends too, right? You're
just of course.
You can be like that.
Take everyone with you. Just go. And you know, and then they're happy to do it. Yeah. That's so good. Oh, I love
Amazing.
That. Okay, so what was the other one that you had in mind, Tabs? You were thinking about
dinner.
Another scenario.
Okay, well, maybe a couple tips on weddings, etiquette-wise, that sort of still
the
relevant
biggest thing
today.
Yeah, it chaps my ass. Like when we were researching the book, my co-author, Michelle and I, we'd like go deep into these Reddit forums or these bridal forums online. Mm. And people seem to have this notion that like, well, the bride's family pays for this and the groom's family pays for that. Which is a lie.
Right.
Like it's a straight up lie that does not exist. There's no like rate card for who pays for what.
Love it.
And it's super, super rude. So making assumptions about who's paying for anything is just an absolute non-starter. And then the other thing is for,
that feels like a tip to go like across life. Like, don't make assumptions that anybody should pay for something.
Totally. And here's another one for you too, which I also believe is like just like a nice thing to do all the time, is handwritten thank you cards. Like there's
love it.
A friend orders you an Uber that you know that might not require a hand calligraphied card. When you get a gift, I think it's a really nice touch to send a handwritten thank you card. And for sure when it comes to weddings and there's, you know, a small business around your stationery. But also I think that's always set people apart. So I learned that advice really young in my career that when it comes to how you present yourself as a professional, you're competing with an awful lot of people, right? Like let's say you're interviewing with a job. Or interviewing for a job, pardon me, and you're one of maybe 20 people they're going to do like a first sort of like first glance, quick interview with.
Yeah.
Then you make it down to 5 candidates. If you make it down to the final 5, you're probably all within a similar range of experience and skill set. What's going to set you apart?
Yeah.
Those other 4 people are probably going to send an email. So I always would tell people like, you send like a beautiful thank you card and you get that in the mailbox, like within an hour after meeting them. So that arrives on
that
the next
good.
Day, right? Like things that are really going to help set you apart from your peers. And I've come across people in my life and I can never put my finger on it, but you know, when you meet someone and you're just like, man, they are a class act.
Yes.
Right. And you're like, I just want to soak up a bit of that. Whatever, it's just like the way they carry themselves and that bit of polish. So I try to steal that when I see it from people.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of handwritten correspondence because I think it's a dying art. And,
yeah.
I always love getting fun mail. All I get are bills.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get a fun card in the mail.
It's very
well,
nice.
We feel you. We actually made, I don't know if you saw, Karen, we made these really cool After 30 postcards because that's exactly what we felt like. We were talking about like, what do we actually want? And what do we feel like at this stage in our lives are things that are like that beautiful extra touch and it's handwriting something, whether it's like, so we feel you. I think that that's one of our favorite things.
100%.
To do, 100%. Right? For each other. And
For sure. Yeah. I was just thinking like one more thing about condolences. How do we, what's a good way to extend condolences to someone?
That's tough. And I find it so uncomfortable personally if it's like a Facebook post that someone I don't know terribly well.
Yes.
But I know them enough that I added, like I accepted a request on Facebook. And you see like the hundreds of comments, I'm so sorry, right? And it feels so impersonal. So I always try to reach out is personally that feels in keeping with the relationship.
Right.
So if it's, you know, if it's your nearest and dearest, I'm getting in the car, I'm driving to their house, like full stop, right? And doing whatever I can to make their life easy. If it's feed their cat or bring them groceries or pick up their kid, whatever. if it's not that, it might be sending flowers. It might be getting on the phone. It might be sending a beautiful card. I know when I lost my dad, I worked with someone that I wasn't particularly close with. And my first day back to work, he had this card on my desk that talked about when the experience of him losing his father. And it wasn't in a way that made it feel about him. Like, it was just true empathy. Like, I lived through this and it's brutal and you'll be okay. And he was probably 20 years my senior, but it really meant a lot.
Okay.
And this was someone that I'd maybe, you know, only had some coffee, water talk banter with. So it really went a long way. So I think, like,
and you remember the
earnest. Yeah, that was almost 20 years ago. So, amazing. You know, whatever feels appropriate to the relationship. But again, like, go the extra mile. Like, don't just write a comment on Facebook. Like, send them an email if you have it, or leave them a voicemail. Okay. Like, do something to let them know that you're feeling for them, you know, and that it's awful. I always,
thank you.
I really hate platitudes in the context of condolences. Like, it's, I think the worst thing you can do is say to someone, everything happens for a reason, or what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Like, that's not what philosophical people need to hear right now. The worst, right? Don't make it about trying to teach someone a lesson or a platitude. Just say you're sorry and mean it in whatever words are appropriate for you.
That's good.
Thank you, Karen. That's very incredible.
Is there any other scenarios that we really want to, because there's a couple other ones. Baby shower. I was thinking baby shower and birthdays. Those were two that I was curious about.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Baby showers are helpful, right? Like, having a baby, babies need a lot of gear. And I really appreciated people threw us a shower, and it was nice to hear from other parents. Like, here's how your life's going to look. And these are some items that I found really helpful.
Yeah.
It's in poor taste to throw yourself a shower, whether that's a wedding shower or a baby shower. You can't host a shower for yourself. It's really shitty. And I'm surprised at how much I see that.
So tell me more about that, because I'm going back to our original point around really, like, the best part about etiquette is if it's rooted in making others feel really sort of comfortable and seen and all of that. So are you saying that because there's an element of greed that comes out of that if you're hosting it for yourself? Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's self-serving, right? Like, you're not, like, it's not cool to throw yourself a party to be showered with gifts, right? Like, it's called showers because you're getting showered with nice stuff. I've seen scenarios played out where people are like, well, I don't want to be a burden to so-and-so, so I'll just host it myself.
Right.
Don't do that. Like, offer to do it behind the scenes, but let that other person host and, you know, do as much as you can to take the weight off of them if that's helpful, but don't host your own shower. I'm a huge fan of, you know this probably from our previous conversation, of breaking down barriers. So I'm all for co-ed situations.
Good, yeah.
I think that the days of showering women are over. And I think there's something super beautiful about a sisterhood, especially, like, moms need other moms. I realized that so much during the pandemic. Yeah. But when it comes to gendering the experience, I think it's not a great foot to start on. So I really love co-ed showers. It's cool.
Good one.
And dads need some support too, right?
Yes,
like, absolutely.
You know, they need that social network, and they need to feel like they're part of it from jump too.
Love it.
And I'd say sometimes if showers are being hosted for you, you can't help but have maybe two showers, right? Like, sometimes two people want to host separate ones. Anything more than that, I'm making a cringy face. Like, you got to make sure it's not coming across as a gift grab.
Right.
So if that's happening, like, look at your guest list, see where you can consolidate, or could we merge these two parties? That would be really nice.
Yeah.
Because anything more than that starts to be a little squicky.
Good one.
Yeah.
Good birthday etiquette we could take away.
Wish people a happy birthday and do it on time if you can. And if you do it late, just own it and say, I'm sorry, it's tardy.
Yeah.
I think birthdays are so interesting as we get older, because it's hard to celebrate your birthday in the way that it used to.
Yeah.
At least I was when I was young and unfettered without kids. Like, it's just hard. So the idea of sometimes if someone's like, oh, let's do a spa weekend away from your birthday, I'm like, that sounds awesome, but also super stressful to organize.
Right.
Practically speaking, that sounds really hard.
Yeah.
So if you're doing something nice for someone's birthday, it's a really nice touch before you, like, go down a rabbit hole of, like, how amazing an experience you could give them to make sure it's one that they actually want. I read something. It's like, make sure the help you want to give is the help that's needed.
Yeah.
That I thought was really nice. Yeah. And I appreciate that as a new parent too. So make sure that it suits them, not just the idea of what you want for their birthday.
I love it.
Yeah.
Or, like, my assumption that you really need time off. My assumption that you really need a massage. It's just an assumption. Like, how about I ask?
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing. I feel like this is a good parlay into a new baby. Because there's a lot of that in terms of assumptions on what somebody might need.
Oh my goodness, 100%. Like, that's hard because it all comes from a great place, right? And
yes.
Everyone who sends a message saying, I don't know what your experience was, but I'll come over and hold the baby. I remember thinking that's literally the last thing that I need.
Yeah.
I want to hold my cute sleeping baby. I want the perks of it. I want to smell their cute little head.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to come over and do my dishes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Or this or that, right? Like, offer help. That's the help that's wanted, not maybe necessarily the help that you want to give.
Right.
Say, like, someone gave me some really great advice that I'm lucky I have two beautiful children now, but we did not rush to have visitors. So if you're any of your listeners who are having a baby or are about to have a baby, you get to dictate when you're ready for company. It is not an open house because you've given birth. Mm-hmm. And then for anyone who's listening to this and they're super excited about a new baby they want to go meet, you make damn sure you're not imposing on that little baby's parents, because it's really hard in those early days.
Yes. And can I say that does extend to the in-laws? I'm not saying that from my own personal experience. Don't worry, guys, if you're listening, but I really think that that still extends, and it's up to the couple to decide.
The couple chooses. Yeah. Full stop. I agree. And my in-laws were super understanding, where we're like, we need like a little bit of time to get our sea legs. And that time was really important to me to feel physically, to learn how to breastfeed. Like, I don't want an audience, right?
Yeah.
But also just to like nest. So lovely. Just nest.
Yes.
I want to talk about one more thing.
Tell us. Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Can we talk about dating a little bit?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Dating etiquette would be great.
Okay. Because here's my hot take on this. I think that everyone is going to be out 8 nights a week like their hair's on fire if they can.
Yeah, for sure. I think I already am. Yeah.
And for people who think, I don't want someone who's stuffy. Like, if someone tells me they value etiquette, I don't want to think like, I'm going on a date with a diplomat. That's boring. But there's something about, think about it. If you're going on a date and the person is rude to the server or chews with their mouth open, rude, right? Like, it's a turnoff. So dating is so interesting, because we expect so much of it to be modern and equalized, but there's still holdovers from generations ago. Like, we wouldn't want our date to order our meal for us. I'm saying this as women. But would we roll our eyes if they pulled out our chair? No, I'd probably be like, oh, that's really nice.
Yeah,
if they open the door, I'd be like, sure. Okay, nice.
Opens the door. Sure.
Yeah. But if they ordered my entree for me, I'd be like, no.
Who's this douche?
Hard pass.
Exactly.
Like, this.
One of the things Anise and I talked about before we had you on is that we do want to break down a little bit the difference between etiquette and good manners.
I think they're one in the same.
No, you think they're one in the same?
They're one in the same.
Okay. Yeah, all right. 100%. Great.
That's interesting.
You can't have good manners without caring about etiquette, and you can't have etiquette without having good manners. If you have etiquette without good manners, you're just a snob.
Right.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
In a contest of what fork goes where.
What would even be an example?
Oh, yeah, you're in a con. Then, yeah. You're like, oh, you don't know that you need to eat with this fork, or you don't know this is the dessert spoon, or, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, like, at the dinner party, is like looking around the table to make sure that everyone put their napkin on their plate instead of their chair.
Got it. Okay.
It was at the end of the meal as opposed to in between courses. And they're so excited to tell you that they know they're right.
Right.
That's someone who only cares about like finishing school shit.
Yeah.
But they're probably
totally
a jerk.
Totally. Do you have anything else you want to share about dating before I ask my final question?
Just know that manners are super sexy. Like, and if someone conducts themselves with confidence and treats other people nicely, you're like, oh, this person is scoring major, major points. My husband would be mortified if he knew I was telling this story. He's downstairs holding our beautiful sleeping baby. But on our first date, he spilled a very large glass of red wine on himself. Like, I mean, very large. And this is a guy who's like, my husband's a smoke show babe. He's super handsome. He never has a speck of lint on him. And I didn't know this about him, but on our first date, he dunked like a full freshly poured glass of red wine all over himself. And he was so cool about it. And it was so hot. It was so hot. Totally. It was like down his front, but he was just like blot, blot, moved on and didn't miss a beat. And I was like, God damn it. That's the hottest thing. He wasn't like, he just rolled with it. Like, he's like, I'm so into this date. I don't even care about my shirt. And I just thought it was the greatest thing.
Oh my God. I love that.
It is truly beautiful when something can roll off your shoulders. It is truly beautiful. And it's magnificent to see when you're like, how do you roll with the punches? How do you stay present? I think staying present is basic manners, actually, even though it's really hard to do, but I think it's,
Good one. Basic manners. Good one.
Big time.
But I was just thinking, really quickly, Karen, we are all like, we all have like an environment now where we're experiencing different people from all over the world, mm-hmm. different cultures, different ways of doing things. How do we connect when people don't have the same etiquette as us? You know, when someone doesn't have the same etiquette as I do, or when someone doesn't have like their understanding is different from mine. How do we navigate that space?
I love that you asked that question, because that doesn't get asked enough. Like in the same way, I think I sought to tackle this one way of having a script for a wedding. So I think there's often seen as like one code of conduct for etiquette or social decorum. And that reeks of privilege, right? Because you can guess whose rule book we're all following. Mm-hmm. So I think the most important thing is to be genuinely curious. Be genuinely curious about how other people conduct their lives and what are other people's customs. And don't ever be judgy. Don't ever be judgy. Like, look at that difference in that diversity through a lens of curiosity and not know-it-alliness.
And ask if you have the opportunity.
Totally.
Learn.
Tell me about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, would you mind explaining to me what's going on here? Because I'm super interested. And then like just lean into that diversity. It's the best. Imagine how boring life would be if we only experience things in our way. It's what makes life interesting.
Totally.
In the same kind of way. I love that you asked that. Yeah. And never assume that your way is the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I like that.
Well, and there's something to be said that like, it's all about judgment, right? And so it's like, it kind of, it comes all together that like, if somebody's doing something that you are finding offensive because they're not, you know, maybe doing what you would consider proper and good manners or what have you, how is that, isn't that not a beautiful moment to check yourself and be like, hang on, why am I judging that person? Maybe they don't know. What are their experiences? How can I shift that into curiosity? How can I like, you know, am I actually like, there's just, it's a really good moment to self-evaluate what's happening for yourself, you
it's
know?
It's so that, interesting. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. I even think about like something as simple as the volume of your voice, you know, like some cultures actually express themselves with a higher volume. You'll have family systems who have expressed their anger in a really healthy way. Mm-hmm. And you have other family systems and other cultures who are a little bit more subdued, a little bit more docile, a little bit more whatever. And not one is not better than the other, but like at times one may perceive it that way. And so I really think like even something as simple as the volume in your house, as the volume in the way that you speak, even like that can become a topic of like a cultural difference, you know, like in etiquette, like how do you speak? So I just, it's so simple, yet it's so complex. And there's so many little nuances.
I remember the first, I moved to Toronto. I was 19 when I moved here. And I was exploring the city and I ended up somewhere that served Vietnamese coffee and I didn't know how to drink it. And I remember I was so embarrassed. I paid my bill and I left it.
Because
I didn't know how. Or the first time I ate sushi, right? Like things that, like I live in a big city, so I'm exposed to these things. But I grew up in a really small town, really small town. So all of that felt really intimidating and really scary.
Right.
And I was so worried I was going to make a fool out of myself. So I think at a certain point, you just got to like steel yourself up and be okay with learning something and maybe making a mistake. Like fancy that. I know the older we get, the harder it is, but it's really nice to put yourself out there and learn something new.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Karen.
Oh,
I
love Karen, it so this is so much. Fun. This is so fun.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are the best.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really. What a great episode.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Really. I really enjoyed this. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. This is super interesting. And I feel like we could talk about this all day, like getting into all of those nuances.
Oh my God.
I would love it. On and on. There's so many things. I think a lot of what you're saying is about not judging, being respectful, considerate of other people. Like that's really the baseline of this, you know? Sure. And so if you're like, I'm thinking about the loud voices or the soft voices or something like that. If you're in a restaurant and coming back to that simple baseline of etiquette, how is everyone else wanting to experience their meal too? And am I the loudest one in this room and everybody's kind of getting a bit disrupted in their personal conversation? Maybe even if that's not in your culture, but maybe that's, you know, not this, like, again, the right or wrong, it's all comes down to like an element of thinking about others, you know, and how are they feeling and how's everybody feeling safe and comfortable and all those kinds of things. So like, I love that's my big takeaway out of this chat.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, beautifully said. Oh my God. Well, thank you, Karen. Thanks everybody for listening. We will talk to everybody next week.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks again.